Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
Alrighty, welcome to the saddest podcast on Earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on Earth during quarantine. Each episode will work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the worst thing in that category is. And today's category is rides. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering rides in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure. Second, we're only covering active rides, so there will be no defunct or retired attractions on today's list. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system, so we each made our own top fives. A ranking of first is worth 5 points, and a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on. And in the end, I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I will know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by my two friends Amanda Pham and Byron Marin, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged over a shocking and alarming 2,000 visits to the park. Without further ado, how is making this list? Let's start with Amanda.
It's one of those things where you're basically choosing your favorite child.
I kind of carried like a hoarder's mentality. So like, this is probably how like a hoarder would feel, is like, yeah, is like coming up with your list and being like, oh, but what about that one? Like, it's almost as if like I felt like I was hurting the ride's feelings, if that was even possible.
Yeah, like the ride is not going to know that you ranked it a 2 or that it didn't make the top 5 even. That's how, yeah, I was thinking too, because I was like, I can't do that to this. I'll never forgive myself.
And I'm
going
like, to plop myself in that seat like whenever this thing's open again or it makes sense. And then I'm just going to think like it knows.
Exactly, it knows. Yeah.
And also it depends on your mood. I would say my top changes quite often.
And I think that pretty much says how I felt about making this list. It was hard. I didn't like it. I had to make some cuts that really cut me deep. And I can't say that I've divorced my feelings yet, to be quite honest.
So excited.
Also, just before we get into this list now, it should be noted that we missed Disneyland, but we're not one of those people that are like, open the park right now. The park should remain closed for safety reasons, obviously. I'll go to the park when I don't have to worry about dying or killing my mom.
Exactly.
It's not worth it. So I just wanted to get that out of the way and extra crystal clear. I would not be going to Disney World right now like a bunch of ding-dongs that are doing it right now.
It's purely therapeutic.
It's a purely therapeutic thing we're doing right here to talk about.
Yeah, they're going to try and lure you in, Ryan. They're going to start selling those like Mickey hazmat suits online.
Yeah, it's insane. Anyways, let's get on to this top five here. All right, we're just going to jump into it. I'm just going to go pull off the Band-Aid right away. Number five is... Radiator Springs is number five.
No way.
It's the law in my town.
What? Who did that? You guys did that, for sure.
No one. Let's not point fingers here yet.
You're the worst.
You guys
listener.
Fucking did that.
Let's start with reaction. We'll go Amanda first, and then we'll end with me.
Ugh. Well, I think it comes back to the brand. I don't think it comes to mind because I don't really look like cars.
Yeah.
But I do love the ride. It's just I don't think I would be in top five.
But is it one of the best rides?
If I was bringing someone not from here, yeah, yes.
So why is that not one of them the best rides?
I think I don't have any emotional attachment to the ride.
Well, clearly you don't have any intellectual attachment either.
See?
Because you didn't
okay.
put Radiator Springs in your life.
I thought this was a safe space.
I'm sorry.
This is.
I think Tiger
got out of the cage there. I'm sorry.
How did you put this one on your list, Ryan?
Okay, let's go to Byron. What is your reaction to number 5 at Radiator Springs?
Well, first off, I didn't put Radiator Springs on my list, so that means you must have ranked it pretty damn high.
Yeah. I think Ryan didn't. I think he just put it on there.
That being said, I'm not disappointed in this being on the list.
Yeah, it's you could wrap your head around it.
Oh, absolutely. Because like, if you are at, like, if someone is visiting California Adventure, like, you have to do Radiator Springs.
Now, California Adventure or the Disneyland Resort?
See, that's no, what, you still, that's what's getting
if you're
me.
Setting if you're setting foot in California Adventure, like, you have to go on Radiator Springs Racers.
Yeah.
So I could understand it being on a top 5 for best. I guess I respect how impressive the ride is and like the scale of the ride, but I just thought there was 5 other attractions that gave me a little more joy when I thought about going on them. But then again, if I was like 8 years old, that would be the coolest freaking ride ever. So
I don't know, man. And I guess we are now going to arrive at me for the reaction to this. Obviously, I'm reacting favorably and maybe even a little accusatory here. I'll admit that, because I did put this on my list, because here I thought we were making a list of the top 5 attractions in the Disneyland Resort, only to find that 2 people in this group have no appreciation for the mechanical and storytelling genius that is this ride. I'll say this up top. This ride is based on the biggest piece of trash franchise I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Enter the park. All that aside, it's a beautifully rendered land, and the ride combines technology and storytelling and thrill in a way that I think has not been done before. I've not been on Hagrid's Coaster. And also, I will put this disclaimer now. I have not been on Rise of the Resistance either. I have not been on Rise of the Resistance, and that will not actually be on anybody's list because of that, because it's not fair, because I imagine it would be on my list if I had been on it. I tried 3 different times to get on this
basically
ride.
We can't ruin this ride for Ryan today, so
this is Ryan's fault.
I went to the park 2 times at 6 a.m to try and get on that ride, and both times struck out, so it's not my fault.
Wait, so also the brand, you're thinking the brand does not taint the ride at all?
I don't think the brand taints the ride, because I'm looking at it just at the lands at itself as like in a vacuum almost.
Cool.
Like, I'm not letting my disdain towards the franchise taint my thinking. Because, honestly, every time I'm on this ride, I'm not thinking of the movie. I'm just thinking this is a great ride.
Yeah, totally.
Even if I hate that goddamn tow truck so much.
What?
The stupidest character.
What's wrong with Mater?
Everything's wrong with Mater.
You're not in the tractor, Tippin?
If I have to hear Larry the Cable Guy grumble one more time over my PA system when I'm on a Disney ride, I'm going to blow my brains
out. You don't enjoy his Junkyard Jamboree?
No. Junkyard Jamboree. By the way, we're also...
I forgot about that. I should have put that on my top 5.
We're also going to have our, in our opinion, worst ride in the park listed later. And, you know, I may put Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. I might, and make myself a paradox.
Interesting.
Anyways. Let's move on to number 4 here, which, by the way, if you thought number 5 was upsetting.
I don't think 5 was upsetting.
You're about to. All right. This is such a trash list. Here comes number 4. Number 4 is Guardians of the Galaxy.
This is the moment you have been waiting for.
The rocket unplugs you and starts dangerous.
That is now 2 California Adventure
yes.
rides. Rounding out the end of yes. our top 5 list. Let's move to Amanda.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I
almost choked on a piece of ice.
I'm glad this is happening, because...
You know how many people are tuning out of this podcast at this very moment because of... Who cares? No one's listening to this podcast.
Amanda and I, we're air fiving right now.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
We both like knew, like, oh, we got
we
this.
Did it.
Yeah,
this,
we
you know, go, man. I was about to start chiming in, but I'll respect the space. Amanda, you go first.
Thank you. Jesus. Okay, same thing in terms of I loved – it's not really about the – I think I just have an attachment to the mechanics of the ride because of Tower of Terror. But also, I think the rhythm of the current – the current Guardians theme is a new, fresh take on it. And I respect it. And I understand the business side of making it a Guardians ride. Oh, okay, I know Byron would somewhat agree that it's a great theme.
Let's move to Byron here.
Because I need some backup.
By the way, Amanda, where did you rank this?
I ranked this, second.
And I ranked Radiator Springs second on mine.
Interesting. Interesting how a team can
Byron, what made it happen?
What
prevail.
Did you rank yeah. this? Oh, yeah, what did you rank?
Okay, so this was actually a big... I was between this and Radiator Springs Racers being... I'm not looking at my list right now, but I believe it was either Guardians or Radiator Springs Racers taking the fifth spot.
It is your fifth spot.
And it was not an easy choice, and I had to go with Guardians because for whatever reason, I can't... That is the most fun out of all the California Adventure attractions. I always have the best time on that ride.
That's fair. I could see that.
When they originally announced it, I think it was in 2016, they announced how they're going to overhaul, take away Tower of Terror, you know, and give it the Guardians treatment. I was very angry. I think everyone was very angry. Even up until the point it opened, I wasn't too excited. The only thing that gave me a little bit of hope was realizing that Joe Rohde was on the project. He does a lot of my favorite. I'm not going to over nerd anyone.
Expedition Everest is great.
Kingdom, and
please,
you know, yeah. And I'm thinking if Joe Rohde's, you know, working with the Marvel team to do this, you know, like he doesn't like cutting corners, and I think from a storytelling element, they're going to do a good job.
What he does like is making me feel nauseous when I have to look at that ear piercing. Because that thing, it's not that I don't like the look of it. It just looks like it hurts. And every time I see
it. It's just going to give up and it's going to go all, just going to droop all the way down to the floor, like mid interview. When he's like, you know, it's shaking around while he gets excited when he's like, talking. It's just going to like, I'm just concerned.
Yeah. But. Watching that guy like run on a treadmill would probably give me a heart attack. Because I would be like, the ear's coming off. Ear's coming off right now. It's coming off right now. It's just jangling around, just really tugging at that cartilage. Or not cartilage. What is that? What do you call the flap of ear that you put a piercing into? Whatever that is, he's stretching it all to hell. It's difficult to watch. Anyways, I had to mention the ear piercing for anybody that watches those Imagineering videos.
For sure.
And I imagine people who are listening to this podcast.
Yeah, look him up. He does good work. But yeah, he's got an interesting ear piercing.
Yeah. He has an anvil tied to his ears.
Anyways, when I actually went on the attraction, the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, I don't think I was quite ready to get, and this is where I'm going to break your heart, Ryan, because I actually think it is a better ride than Tower of Terror at Disney's California Adventure.
Now
that is the hottest of takes.
Yeah,
I'm going to go another layer on this one.
You could feel everybody leaning into their stereos now, just like this guy really said that, right?
No, I think. Look, I don't think I'm alone on this one. I think the Guardians of the Galaxy is an improvement on Disney California Adventure's rendition of Tower of Terror. Now,
we could all agree that the Tower of Terror in Florida is better.
Yes.
Because of the front and back
motion. That is one of the
best
rides ever in terms of storytelling, in terms of overall ride experience. And as long as that rendition of Tower of Terror still exists, that original one, I'm okay with, you know, them re-theming ours. That's what I noticed, since they did a good job on it. And I do like that element. It's like very comedic now, and it has, and the drop sequence is better. And it's randomized; like they have like six songs, and like you know, you get a random one every time. Better drop sequence. It's a weird combination of thrills and comedy. Now, if we had the only Tower of Terror, and they removed that, then I'd have an issue. Like there needs to be a Tower of Terror in the world. But knowing that there's always a better Tower of Terror, and it's over in Orlando. It always took a little bit away from, like, the only reason why they brought that Tower of Terror and they, you know, they gave us like a discount version of it was because California Adventure was sinking at the time. So they needed to throw something themed to Hollywood and shoehorn it in there as quick as possible. Not to say, and it's just such a it's a testament to how good the attraction is that they're able to bring in a cheaper version of it. And the storytelling in itself can hold its weight and it's still just like, it's a fun drop tower ride. But
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So in Florida, would you be mad if they
rebranded that to like that, I'd be furious. I'd be furious.
You wouldn't
that ride. That ride's a masterpiece.
You wouldn't like riding on your Peladrax's back as you walk through hallways. Probably what they would do in that ride.
Yeah, no. Like, don't touch the like. That was my biggest fear when they announced that they were changing ours. Mm-hmm. The first thought was, "Damn it." And then the second thought was, wait, what about Orlando?
See, that's what I predicted, because or I'm going to predict that in the next, like, whatever amount of time, they're going to have to reskin it because Twilight Zone isn't theirs anymore.
That's true, CBS.
Yeah, so they're going to have to replace it with something. I think that's, like, the plan.
Oh, that's going
to
be a sad
day. I guess it depends on how long the license they have on that ride, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's move on here.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
For this top five Disney attractions list, I got to agree with Byron that nothing says Disney to me more than the Jackson 5 while you go up and down an elevator.
So awesome.
While looking at Star-Lord. Oh, boy. I'm really happy you put that in your Disneyland top five best attractions.
I know you might be...
Granted, I can't...
Sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic, but I realize there's a major contradiction that's going to come later for me. So I'll stop on that point because I'm realizing I'm digging my own grave. But I will say that as this helicopter flies overhead here, I will say that I don't know if I considered fun as much as I should have in this list, because when Byron was explaining that, like, it is a fun ride, I have to admit I think I might have more fun on the Guardians attraction than I do at Radiator Springs. However, I just think Radiator Springs is, like, I can't say that it's not a better ride.
It's
is a
beautiful
better ride.
Ride.
It's a better ride. Yeah. Guardians is fun for what it is. I don't know if that's because they're brainwashing you into thinking you're having fun because you're listening to Flashlight by Parliament. But, you know.
Dude, it's a good drop sequence.
It's a good drop sequence.
It's a great drop sequence.
But,
it's
probably. Do you think it's because of the technology behind it? For the Guardians ride, not Tower. Because Tower, to me, it was like purely, I think the mechanics was driving the ride.
I could wrap my head around it, but I also just think this reskin is just, it's so shoehorned. The whole story behind this ride is really unimaginative.
I would agree with that.
It feels so shoehorned. Maybe it's because, I'll say this, I could be caked in nostalgia and love for Tower of Terror, which I felt was like, can you think of a better IP that's married to, like, a ride structure than that? Like, it's mm-hmm. I mean, because it was built for it. It was built for this tech. So mm-hmm. I just feel like anything that would come after that is not going to be as good. I also love horror films, so maybe that is what it is. And I'm also, I guess, like a secret-ish, but not so secret-ish Disney purist.
Hey, you know what?
I'm not as militant.
You know what the good news is, Ryan? There's like three other ones in the world.
That's the Guardians?
No, Tower of Terrors.
Yeah, but we're talking about Disneyland Resort here.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, and out of respect to Disneyland Resort, I sometimes have to give a favor to more original rides that you can only ride at the Disneyland Resort. That's what makes it special.
You're right. It is a tragedy that no one else in the world could ride Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. What a sad day for all of them. I'm sure people are tucking themselves into sleep right now thinking, I'll never get to ride and watch Star-Lord.
No, I agree, because I don't like that the Star Wars Land or the Galaxy's Edge at... I don't appreciate, like, having the same exact format.
How can I take another breath on this mortal coil, knowing I'll never see Rocket Raccoon break out his pals?
You don't like the amateur... Actually, I don't...
It's Mission Breakout.
But is it the same? Or, like, or I guess there's no other Guardians, so never mind. But, like, the other Tower of Terrors, are they the same at the other resorts? Or is it just Florida?
That was, like, the first, like, trackless dark ride. People didn't even realize the one in Florida was a trackless dark ride.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because they had the...
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Yeah, the wheel
structure. That's trackless when it comes out and before it...
Is that not the pucks? It's, like, something else?
There's actually wheels on the bottom that I believe are laser tracing.
Hell yeah.
So it tries to line up with, like, a needle in the ground.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
I remember when I saw the behind the scenes on the Florida attraction. We're not here to talk about Disney World, but whatever. It's our podcast. in Disney World, I remember seeing a behind the scenes of how the track moved forward and backward, and it made me very scared to get on that ride because I was like, what the fuck? We're just like getting on this elevator that's like getting off a track to go and just hoping that the computer nailed it every time. Like, scary. It's scary.
This is changing my world.
Anywho, Tower of Terror.
Also, I will say that Guardians, one thing it has going for it is it's one of the few rides I could think of where the show building is actually the facade of the ride. Like, what you see of the facade is actually the mechanics, whereas most Disney rides have that facade and obviously it goes into a show building. That's kind of cool. Other than
that,
though, it's a fun ride. It's just, it's not my top five best. It would have been on my top 10, though, as much shit as I'm giving it right now. Anyways, let's move on here to number three. And this is where things are going to start to get a little sticky here, because you're going to know these fellas that are in this list. But anyways, here we go. Number three is Space Mountain. Now,
all right.
We're going to start. We're going to continue the order here. We're going to start with Amanda. Where was this on your list, Amanda? If it wasn't on your
it
list.
It wasn't on my
it
list.
It was not on your
but
list.
But it would have been an honorable mention.
An honorable mention.
It would have been. I think I've been on that to the point. It feels like I'm always having fun. I always want to take people on it. And it's always like a have to.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think. It always feels like an obligation to go. Because
what?
Everyone wants to go, but I don't as a pass holder, I'm there for 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
I don't need to go on that ride.
See,
I've gone on it so many times where
you triggered my Siri. My Siri turned on. I think my Siri was like, I feel like someone's saying some crazy shit now.
No, I have the best fucking time on it. And I think I always want it to be it's very close to me, but I also am I think you guys appreciate it a little more than me, for sure.
What if it was a 10-minute wait? If you were there for 2 to 3 hours?
I think it's tainted by how I perceive the, how to get on the ride. I'm okay, I don't need to go on it.
Because it's not a guarantee every time I go to Disneyland that I'm going to go on it. And it's mainly because it's usually the longest line in the park.
Yeah.
But if it was a shorter wait, if every time it's 30 minutes or less, I'm what a deal. I got to get on it.
Let's put it this way. I would wait a long time for other rides before I would that ride. In the line. If it was a 30-minute wait and it was 30 minutes between that ride and other rides.
Interesting, because my tolerance.
Talking about it.
My tolerance for waiting on that line in the Space Mountain line is probably one of the longest in the park. Maybe the longest.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't know if I would say that, but I will say that I'll wait a little. It's up there in terms of tolerance.
I think that's what it is. If it was short, I'd be running to it, right? Mm-hmm. But usually...
It's because it's usually the longest line in the park, in Disneyland.
But I do fucking, have the best time of my life on that ride. And it's never let me down, if that makes sense.
It should be in your top five if it's never let you down and you have the time of your life. That's a quote you just said 2 seconds ago.
I know, but I think I'm just I think it would be honorable mention for sure. But I understand why it's where it is. I'm not going to argue with it.
That's true. Number three among the three of us. Byron, moving to you.
Yeah.
By the way, for people listening to this, if I'm coming off as an asshole or antagonistic, I get it. It's because I am.
Ryan's the purist. Yeah. Byron goes abroad quite often. Yep. And then I am a progressive, I would say.
Yeah, Byron corrects you when you say shit like croissant and, and stuff like that. It's croissant, actually.
I've been to Walt Disney Studio Paris.
Yeah. It's
the worst Disney park ever.
What do you got here? Why was space? Well, first off, was space on your list?
It was my number two.
This is pretty high up. It's pretty high up. That's how I had. That's where I had Radiator Springs. Why number two? You don't look like you agree with past Byron.
I've had quite a history with Space Mountain. This was the. I think this is the roller. This is what really got me into roller. It was the biggest step up, I think. As a kid,
were you the kid that was scared of roller coasters before?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I was obsessed with them, but I was slower to maybe get on them. I mean, I still went on Space Mountain fairly young.
Yeah.
But I remember that being the next level, especially if you grew up going to Disney. It is probably the most thrilling roller coaster in that park. And the fact that you don't know what's coming and it's all in the dark was kind of this next level experience. And the fact that, it still holds that element of fun today. And I still get to go on it today, and I'm still not 100% sure when every turn's coming, whatever.
But what is it about it that you like? I'll have some thoughts on this, too, because why I like Space Mountain so much. But I also say
soundtrack goes a really long way for me.
Oh, yeah, the soundtrack rules. The soundtrack is so good. While we're on the subject of soundtrack, on the way here, I was listening to the Space Mountain soundtrack because it's my favorite Disney soundtrack to drive through. or drive to, rather, because it just makes you feel like you're on a little adventure. There's a couple other soundtracks I listen to while driving, but that one, I was blasting it on the way here, windows were down, and I shit you not, it's a car pulled up to me and said, and it was this kind of like rock-looking couple, not like goth, but they had like a bandana on their head. One of them looked like he could be in AC/DC. Anyways, they came up to me and they rolled their window a little bit further down, and they were like, "Hey, I don't want to be weird, but what is that song you're listening to? We were gonna Shazam it because it just sounded so cool." And I was like, "Oh, this is the Space Mountain soundtrack."
You're making this
up. I'm not kidding.
Right now,
I said this is the Space Mountain soundtrack, and they said, "Oh, right on."
What a proud moment!
And they didn't even know what Space Mountain was when I said this is the Space Mountain soundtrack. They're probably like, "Oh, I wonder what movie Space Mountain is." And they're going to go and find that's a Disneyland ride.
Dude, go experience this song live. Wait 60 minutes in the spire-shaped building in Tomorrowland.
It's a literal showstopper is what I'm getting at.
It's the same composer, because you're talking about the modern Space Mountain.
Yeah.
So it's the same composer that did like Incredibles.
It's a Giacchino joint. It's a Michael Giacchino joint who, as you all may know, has scored some of the best films of all time. Some of the more iconic ones he's done. Up. He's done the incredible score. He did all the score for Star Trek. And he did the score for Lost. He's a beast.
Wow.
And Ratatouille as well.
The best.
Anyways, that dude did Space Mountain. And that's
sense.
Why he made made me educate our young rock couple today. Who are going to go home and barf when they find out listening to Disneyland.
The attraction's got sick beats. It's in the dark. Glossy smooth. And there's something about just that cold AC that you feel on your face.
Oh, yeah.
By the time, I don't know why. And it like, almost makes you, like, your eyes tear a little bit by the end. I don't know. It's a little, like, I just, like, if you're in Disneyland, like, I just got to tell them, like, dude, Space Mountain is one of the best.
Coolest way to get on a ride, too.
Yeah.
I think that's the coolest, like, turnstile. It's so stupid to say, but.
Yeah, yeah.
You get excited because of how it is.
Here's what I think about this. It was number 4 on my list. And honestly, it could have edged higher, and it may edge higher given the day, but I'm committing to this list. I have it at number 4. It's number 3 for all of us, consensus. And it does bring me kind of back to that time of, I used to love roller coasters when I was younger, and I do miss that feeling I no longer get. I used to get this nervous, scared feeling when I was on roller coasters, like, oh, wow, this is going to be kind of dangerous and scary. This was one of the rides that kind of, like, helped me embrace that. And really love roller coasters. I will also say that, for my money, maybe the best themed roller coaster on the planet. Honestly,
what do you think? The space theme.
I'd argue
think...
maybe another roller coaster, but
wait, can you elaborate?
Yeah, the thing is, I think it's so hard to theme a roller coaster. It really is, because like the amount of speed you have, it doesn't make as much sense to have animatronics. I know Hagrid's Adventure has animatronics in it, but I hear that ride breaks down every 5 minutes. So, you know, take that for what it is. You know, there's another ride at Disneyland, another roller coaster called Big Thunder Mountain, that also is very well themed, but I never feel as fully immersed as I do in space. Space for me.
You mean because it's dark?
It's dark, but it plays. It's clever. It plays that into its theme. I really do feel like I'm on like a little spaceship, and the theming that goes into it, the cue theming is incredible. There's fun pre-show video with a guy who reads very monotone, and looks like the biggest goober on
Earth. Do you remember? Okay, so that was, they brought that guy in for their 2005 refurb. I don't know if you ever remember that title. They closed it for almost 2 years, and they completely brought in, like, a brand new track. Same layout, just nice, glossy, smooth track. And they used to have another guy in the pre-shows. I don't know if you would remember, because we would have been pretty young. We would probably been, like, 10 years old or something. And his name was, like, Crazy Larry. And, like, they had, like, all these weird advertisements instead.
I remember that.
And it's like, that's Crazy Larry. And it's, like, whatever. Like, I don't know why. Like, this is, like, back when, like, they had, like, the glass, like, preview window. You could see, like, they had, like, a red ball in the middle. And, like, but, yeah, like, once they replaced it with this the monotone guy, that was always kind of a dumb, like, I don't know how they, like, they closed the ride for 2 years and they brought this guy in to do the.
It has, like, an instructional video vibe. like you were going to go blast off to space, which is why I enjoy. He's so bland that it actually makes it exciting when he says, like, your intergalactic space adventure. I'm always like, hell yeah, dude. I'm about to get in. I'm about to go to space. And then the, I got to say, the buildup that this ride creates is up there in terms of, like, Tower of Terror used to have a really good buildup. No other ride really gets me as stoked as this ride does in terms of, like, you go up the lift and then you go through that power chamber where there's, like, a transfer happening. There's, like,
it's
lasers going off.
It's the best lift hill.
It is exhilarating. There's just the right amount of air conditioning blasting on your face where you're like, holy shit, I'm about to fucking get disintegrated. and then you move up the lift. The score is perfectly timed. There's actually a countdown. It really does get me excited. And that score just rips perfectly. There's, like, a drum solo that has, like, a drop maybe in the last third of the ride. That's fantastic. I always drum along with it when I go down. Then you get hit with an excellent photo, a ride photo, where it makes you kind of feel like you're going backwards for a brief couple moments. This has to produce, other than maybe Splash Mountain, the best on-ride photos out there. I mean, it's a truly shocking moment if you don't know the layout of the ride. It's what a perfect finish, perfect start, and damn near perfect middle. And even the old score kicks ass. The more like surf and rocker kind of Space Mountain theme. It's just a fantastic ride. And it's also the first roller coaster, from my knowledge, that roller coaster's in the dark. No small feat.
I think it was the last roller coaster that Walt, not 100% sure, I think it might have been the last roller coaster that Walt had any involvement on.
Makes
even though
sense.
They built it well after his passing, it was always like an idea that he was pushing for to do a space-themed roller coaster.
And the magic of this ride, that it goes, I think, like 25 miles per hour, and it feels like it's going 60 or 70.
Right. We're always, you know what? Me and my friends always talk about how it's faster at night. I think we're all bullshitting, obviously.
Yeah.
Because why would it do that?
Yeah.
But we always feel like we're leaving it at night, like the last ride. If we're riding at like 10, and we're like, wait. That, like, felt faster.
Do you think it's just because our brains get more tired by the end of the
being there all day?
It's an amazing ride. Anyways, moving on to number two here. Oh boy, this one I don't think we're gonna have many disagreements anymore. And then what the next two are gonna turn into is back thoughts in the recesses of our mind about, like, wow, that means this didn't make it on the list.
And, I have a guess.
So number two here is Haunted Mansion.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Haunted Mansion. I am your host, your ghost host.
Very thrilled to see this high, but let's move to Amanda here. Where was Haunted Mansion on your list?
I think I had it at... Oops, there's a bug. Okay. I had it number three. Now that we're talking more, I'm like, okay, that makes sense, but I also would have put it higher too. I think I wouldn't have been mad if it was like one.
I got distracted, to be honest, after you said that, because when you said, oh, there's a bug looking at your iPhone, it's the first time where someone said that where it could have actually been a literal bug or a technical glitch.
a loser.
And I got stuck on that, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I missed the whole sentence that followed that. Sorry, can you
Meanwhile,
repeat?
I'm distracted by the two squirrels, like, having a party right behind
me. Oh,
you
yeah. There's been two squirrels behind you this entire time.
Are they wearing masks?
No, well. Assholes. Yeah.
All
right. I think Haunted, I like that it's been so consistent for so long.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what I remember since we were little.
Probably. I see.
Like, I appreciate the fact that the purist in me would be like, okay, I'm kind of like let down by how advanced the Hatbox Ghost looks.
Yeah.
But I understand that he needs to be there. Mm. I appreciate that they were listening to people and their like fascinations with this guy.
Yeah.
But I think I appreciate how it's been so, I don't want to say, like, the animatronics are just so pure.
Yeah.
And they haven't really, like, advanced anything, except I would say the only part is the Hatbox Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And the music is amazing. I think the score, that's, like, one time where I'm, like, the score makes me so, like, afraid, but also, like...
Yeah, there's, like, a... There's like a tongue-in-cheek aspect to it as well.
So that's good.
Fun. I don't know how they walk that tightrope so well.
Yeah.
Let's move to Byron here.
I ranked this number three. Could easily see it being two, and I honestly wouldn't feel too bummed if it got one.
Yeah.
Damn, does it hold up? Yeah, just even like it's crazy that like you take modern technology and bring it into the Hatbox Ghost and it kind of throws you off. It's like a cool effect, but it throws you off because the effects everywhere else were pulled off so well.
Exactly.
In the sense, and it's like they will never. And like sometimes I do feel that way about attractions that like I loved growing up as a kid, and you start seeing more of the like production tricks mm-hmm. as you go. And I'm wondering, I'm like would like my like future children like be able to catch this stuff like I do now, just because there's so much more exposure through internet, and you could always it's so much easier to kind of like look behind the curtain these days.
Yeah.
But then again, you go on Haunted Mansion, I'm like, no, they're always going to buy this.
Yeah.
You're always going to buy this.
It's great.
Yeah, iconic score. The fact that they, God, they're so good with show buildings. It's crazy that when, like, even when they built this attraction, they hid the show building on the other side of the railroad tracks outside of basically the park.
Yeah.
And they cleverly, you know, did a slow dropping, you know, room, like pre-show, to put you underground far enough to take a hallway under that track. So you're not actually in that house facade that you see. And I'm still convinced to this day, like, I just don't,
it's the perfect combination of logistic and theming.
Right.
That you could see, like, they were like, we need to figure out a way to get these people under this railroad.
We need them to go here.
I'm always convinced that
we need them to do a giant L. And then some genius was like, well, obviously we'll have a stretching portrait room that will make them feel like they're being stretched.
That's so good.
It's a goddamn genius. Because, like, I still think that I'm in the Haunted Mansion. I know the concept of a show building, obviously.
And yet you still, like...
I still buy it. Still buy it.
I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not going in that. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense. Like, that retraction is so huge. Like, it would never, and yet you're still like, oh, I'm going back in the mansion.
Like, anyone else would put, like, an escalator and be done.
Yeah.
Know?
If we were at Universal Studios, yes. They would just tell you, like, hey, walk under the railroad. Yeah. Sign. Sorry, Universal. It's just the Starways annoy the shit out of me. You have to take 18 sets of stairs to get down to a different ride if I want to get in Jurassic Park.
Are you talking about, like, the lower lot for, like, the Hollywood?
It's just cumbersome. Anyways.
to go where they just bunch their, like, warehouse rides together.
Yeah.
Like, that don't really make much theming sense, like Jurassic Park's right next to Mummy.
Well, also, it's just like at Disneyland, Walt. No, this is not going to turn into a shitting on Universal Studios podcast.
I think, back to Haunted, I think the host, or the intro,
the
is
ghost
like
host.
One of those things where it just, like, I sometimes just put it on. Like on
oh, great, yeah.
Just so I can feel like I can come back to that place of just feeling at home.
Yeah, it's great. I guess we'll move to me now.
Yes.
Let's start with the hosting. First off, hands down, probably the best on-ride narration in the entire park. Paul Frees giving he's really throwing some heat here. He's throwing 100-mile-per-hour fastballs this entire ride.
Do you love how pompous he is, too?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I will lower it forward. Like, what a flex.
Also, like, he's... Oh, there's a police siren here. I'm gonna wait. We're shooting this in a park in LA. Yeah, it's far enough now. Yeah, the narration is incredible. Him just kind of flexing the entire ride, knowing you're not gonna break out of the house without his doing. Like, this place has no windows, no doors. It's iconic. The lore of the Hatbox Ghost, I agree that it is a little too technologically advanced, and it kind of sticks out when it's mixed with all of the other effects. But that lore is incredible.
Right.
I can't think of another ride that has that kind of lore attached to it. Also, the definition of a perfectly themed ride is not a ride that is seamless. It's a ride that where you can actually see the seams and they're still charming. Like the floating instruments in the Madame Leota room, you could see that they're attached to like those black poles, but you still love it. And it's also, I think, in terms of story, it's the clearest and most intricate story in the entire park, where there's like a clear beginning, middle, end. You're going through a haunted house. You even fall out of the attic and into the graveyard. It's fantastic. The Pepper's Ghost effect is still one of the greatest illusions that's out there today, and you buy it every single time you're on this
so
ride.
Scary. Yeah.
All of the effects in this ride just hold up in the similar way that the Jurassic Park CGI effects hold up today, because they use so much practical puppets. And mixed it with CGI. I think it was like 60 CGI shots in Jurassic Park, and there's like thousands in every studio movie today. Yet that movie is seen as one of the greatest CGI movies of all time. I feel that way about Haunted Mansion, where the effects are just so practical and perfect because of that practicality.
That's a hot take. Haunted Mansion is just as intense and advanced as Jurassic Park. I appreciate that.
I think it is. I think it holds
up. The Jurassic Park of rides.
It's decades old technology, and yet it holds up and fools audiences every 10 seconds. I appreciate it for its practicality, where it does feel real and tangible. It feels lived in.
Right.
The theme is amazing. There's a banger of a song that comes from this. While it has great on-ride audio and soundtrack, or score rather, there is the Grim Grinning Ghost song in the graveyard that's amazing. The ending ride is also really fun, where they have someone in the buggy with you. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing ride. I love how it fits in with the park.
They could have easily gone with like a tenth of as many effects and just been like, this is enough to like sell it and like have a full ride. And they seriously just every single part of that ride.
It just kicks ass. I think it might be the best themed ride in existence. How strongly I feel about it. Like, if this was a list of my favorite attractions of all time, it could be number one. But it is a list of what I consider the best attractions. And I had it listed at number three as well. We all had it at number
three. Do you think it's hard to replicate? Because like back then when they were like designing that, it was like seriously their project was just to have fun in a warehouse for a while and just like make this kind of stuff up, where maybe it's a little more streamlined nowadays and there's like more loopholes you have to get through.
I think this ride feels like one of those old Imagineering rides where you could actually feel the collaboration when you're riding through it.
Totally.
You could feel that there was hundreds of artists that worked on this one ride. You know, I don't know if I feel that with Guardians of the Galaxy.
No,
is all I'm saying.
I know. We know. Okay. But then it feels like someone, it's like a film, right? Like
a really great
film where it clearly came from a story that someone original, kind of like very clear story, thought out story. And then everyone, the music, production, everyone just built around it.
Isn't it funny how a ride that feels like a film could produce one of the worst films of all time? That Eddie Murphy film. Even as a kid, it was the first movie, and this is true, it's maybe the first movie that made me realize as a kid that movies could be bad. Because normally I'd walk out of a movie and I'd be like, that was amazing, what a fun ride and experience. And that movie, I walked out and I was like, hey, that kind of sucked. It was not
a day or two of denial.
It was not a good film. I did not have a good time watching that.
It was awful.
Just let Guillermo make the movie, goddammit. Anyways.
Another thing about Haunted real quick is that you find something new every time. I do, at least.
That's true.
You can like, I think that's epitome of Disney, where they little things are so important.
Oh, speaking of hidden stuff, like, do you remember like when they did the like hidden Oogie Boogie Man?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
During the, because they do the holiday.
Right.
Oh yeah, and we'd be remiss not to mention that.
Right.
One of the most successful layovers that you could possibly have on an attraction
overnight,
and they run it like clockwork now.
Yeah,
it's just like
so
a few
good.
Weeks turnaround, and they
crazy.
Got it all.
Because on paper, it doesn't make any sense. Like for someone to be like, "I'm going to put Nightmare Before Christmas on the Haunted Mansion and have it sit in New Orleans Square, and it's not going to be an eyesore." And it blends so well.
No,
with
like
the decorations
lit up jack lanterns. I love it.
It's
just
great.
Like, it's synonymous with just like, okay, we're in the holidays, like
so
stretch.
Good.
And when the holidays are happening, it has that great exterior cue music. It's like this like spooky ethereal piano. I love it. I love the ambiance.
They bring the decor out to the queue, which makes it so fun. Like so thought out.
It's a fantastic ride. Also, top five cast member uniforms and performances by cast members on this ride. They're really committing to that theme.
Exactly.
I always feel for the outdoor queue people though, like in the middle of summer.
Oh yeah, it's gotta be
like
so hot.
He's looking coated.
Like, it is the coolest looking thing, but I'm like, oh man, it's like you need to like dab your forehead. Like,
I also chuckle every time they tell me to move to the dead center of the room. Also, Leota saying goodbye to you at the end, little mini Leota in a weirdly sexual, breathy Marilyn
it's
Monroe
creepy.
Voice.
Be Ryan's sure kink, apparently.
To bring your dissertificate.
Hurry back.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't even want to eat my popcorn anymore. Because I feel...
violated.
I feel violated. I don't like it. I wish there was more Haunted Mansion merch. I'll say that, too. Get on that, Disney. I feel like there's a shocking lack
Interesting.
Of,
I never noticed that.
I thought there's a lot of good shirt opportunities, I feel like.
It's great.
I'm sure there's some people that make like custom ones though that, I don't know, have some of the best lines or.
Also, I think we have the best Haunted Mansion. Either way, this deserves its ranking at number two.
Nice.
Consensus.
Haunted Mansion, woot woot.
Now let's move to number one here. But before we get into number one, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. Yes, we have a sponsor. The world is a confusing place.
How?
Is this how it works?
Wow. Thank you for sponsoring this very educational and important podcast. Let's move to number one, though, shall we? I think we could all kind of get... I mean, I think I have an idea.
Yeah, this is...
I had an idea before I tallied it up.
This list, by the way, is not as disappointing as I thought it would be.
What are you talking... Okay, number one is Indiana Jones.
Foolish mortals! You looked into my eyes. Your path now leads to the gates of doom.
Honestly,
here's why I think it's shocking. I think there's a fair amount of people listening to this podcast right now who probably thought number one was Pirates. But we'll move on.
Pirates?
Yes, that's right. We'll move to you, Amanda.
That's ridiculous.
We'll move to you, Amanda.
I think that's a very Ryan thing to say.
I'm telling you, there's purists out there that I will get into it when I get to my number one here.
Okay.
But let's go to Amanda. Why did you have this ranked number one? It was number one on your list.
Yes, it was. And it's because I think it goes back to the space thing where I think it's just so fucked up because I understand space wasn't on my list, but I was comparing the two in terms of what's worth every time me waiting in a line.
Yes.
And I would 100% wait in line for Indiana every single time.
Yeah, it's great.
No matter what it is, because it's one of the, like, back to storytelling, music, mechanics, everything. It's so pure of everything. And they've stayed pretty consistent, minus that. The three rooms. I think that's the only part where I'm like, oh, I actually like the advancement there. Nothing really, like everything that they've improved in that ride hasn't taken away from how I felt about it.
Like, that's true.
From our childhood or whatever, you know? And I don't know. I just think it's one of those rides that is just more thrilling. It just feels like I pretend like I don't know what's going to happen every single time. The queue is also not terrible.
The queue is amazing.
Yeah, they plan that so well.
When I was a kid, I filmed an Indiana Jones scene because I was like super into Indiana Jones as a kid. So I bought the hat at Disneyland and like I took my cousin to play Indiana Jones with a hat and like I had like the same kind of jacket. And we like used the line as like him like
so
dodging
cute.
The stuff, like shaking the camera like an earthquake, like the temple was coming down. I like built bricks in my backyard and like plugged a hose into it to like shoot water through to make it like to cut to that. It was super silly.
Cute story, but what time did you go to Disneyland where Indiana Jones was that empty?
Yeah, like it was amazing how back in like early 2000s, late 90s, how like weekdays were their weekdays. Like,
so,
why the hell? I think more pass holders caught on over the years. And then and now it's just like, you cannot find a ghost town day.
Oh, wait, who were we on for Indiana Jones? We were on Byron now. It was number one on your list as well.
Yes, it was number one. So yeah, this was not that bad of a, like I was expecting worse. First off, it terrified me the first time I went on it.
Yes.
And it's still, I think, like the most thrilling attraction in Disneyland. I don't think they'll like, I can't see them ever building a more thrilling attraction in a, not like a, like California Adventure, that's different, but like a Disneyland, like Castle Park.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about, I think, as much as they can go. It's actually kind of crazy that they actually made that happen, because it was, I know Star Tours was like the first non-Disney IP to get included.
Yeah, yeah.
But that they continued the Lucasfilm trend, and then like, what, this opened in like 96? Which is like crazy, because there's nothing like this attraction in 96, and it still feels like it's ahead of its time.
It does. Yeah, it's...
Totally.
It doesn't feel out of place to an Adventureland for whatever reason.
It's like, combining a... it's combining a simulator with like a moving vehicle that it reads computer like chips in the ground.
And given the Lucasfilm acquisition, it also is in the Disney umbrella now, officially. So now it's not even, I guess,
I didn't
like,
realize how random it was, though.
Before, it was random.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's also so Adventureland.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
totally. Yeah. It was the adventure.
And that's another another thing that you don't see the show building. I cannot see the show building from where you're entering.
It's perfectly hidden. It's perfectly hidden.
It's once again, you're going that tent, and then once again, you're walking under those tracks again into this massive show building that if you ever actually like take the tram to Disneyland or you're riding the monorail closer, if you actually see out off there, you know, outside of the tracks, this massive green show building. It's crazy that I have to like tell people, oh yeah, that's Indiana Jones. You would like never know it though when you're in the park.
Yeah, it's great. For me, this ride, number one also on my list. I love the franchise. So to see them do the franchise justice as well as they did in this ride is amazing. Back to what I was saying about Haunted Mansion, where the ride really utilizes practical technology to make to storytell. This is like the ultimate version of that, where almost all the effects in this ride, other than the screen projection on Mara's face, is practical, and it is amazing. Like, the ride vehicle itself is a storytelling device. Like, it blew my mind when I realized the ground isn't bumpy. It's just the vehicle itself simulating the bumping. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Like, that's like revolutionary right there. That's
crazy.
They even
get it to kind of drift on certain moments.
It's amazing.
How do they get that drift effect?
And it makes you feel like you're going on a much faster ride than you are. I think all the Disney Imagineering rides at their height somehow figure out a way to make it feel like you're going faster or on a more dangerous ride than you actually are, because that allows them to go at a slower speed so that you could take in the effects and all the storytelling.
Those programmers probably had the best time.
Because
they were
in
there with the controls, like driving this thing around the warehouse, like,
yeah,
and like kind of plugging in, like, and just testing stuff out.
Like, this is a ride
that
where
was their job.
You probably had Imagineers riding the ride over and over again and telling them, make this curve a little bit, you know, tighter, mm-hmm, or make this bump a little bit bigger. Like, that must have been so much fun.
They had like remote. I've seen like footage of them like with like these big remote controls, like in the
In the
Jeep, like trying to like program, like, oh, that worked, like, let's save that.
They just never settled, which I think is like, because like right now with all the technology, it feels like they're cutting corners, right?
It does with the screens, yeah.
Before there were so many factors, but they're like, no, we have to work within these restrictions to make it feel just amazing.
And then all the way from there to like a micro level where the height requirement, or the, you know, the is like that golden, like that, or that golden or copper, like that cobra.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Totally.
And that was a menacing, like, the first time I went on that, it was because I think I was 6 years old. It was like right around when the ride first opened. And I was terrified of going on Indiana Jones. And like my mom was like, no, you got to go on Indiana Jones. And she dragged me up to the front. It was like my sixth birthday or something like that. And there it was, like the cobra was like staring me down. And I knew that in the back of my head, like, cause like I was, and I'm like, if I'm too short, I don't have to go on this. And I was just begging, like, please. And like, I went and like went up to the cobra and I was just a few hairs below it. And I was like, yes, like I'm not tall. And my mom kept trying to prop me up. And then the cast member leans to her, like, he's good to go. And
you didn't even want to go on it.
I did not. I was terrified. And luckily, and she drags me in. And I'm just like, no, like, damn it. Like, and then I ended up being terrified but loving the ride. And it's my number one.
This ride actually is a separate, like a complete opposite memory for me, because I was always like a thrill seeker when I was a kid. So I was so upset that I could never get on this ride because I was too short. And every year I'd walk up to the cobra and it would be my nemesis. I would like float under it and I'd realize, well, it's not happening for me this year. It's not happening for me this year. And I remember the year that I finally had like a growth spurt and I was tall enough to ride the ride. I walked up to the cobra very nonchalantly, thinking I was going to slide right under it like before. And I headbutted it because I was so much expecting to be under it. And I fell on my ass. And I remember everyone laughing at me. And I didn't care because I was so happy I finally got to go on Indiana Jones.
Have you guys ever stuffed your shoes?
Yeah, this was the quintessential version of that. Both myself and my brother, a la Steve Rogers, were stuffing newspapers in our shoes.
Yeah, I was...
to get onto this ride.
Okay, it's kind of weird that something like Indiana Jones, to me, like thrill-wise, is actually more like... scary than a lot of the biggest like roller coasters and rides out there.
I don't know about that. I mean, there is some scary elements to it. Like we have like the skeleton tunnel where like not the one with the darts, but the one where they fall out of the coffin. The giant snake also used to scare the shit out of me.
My ears,
I guess it depends if you're more afraid of like fear of like dropping or like heights as opposed to like storytelling.
Yeah.
The snake still freaks me out. I'll say that. Yeah. I don't like snakes. I hate them.
Well, the sound it makes too, like, does so much.
It's also a giant cobra. So it's and that snake has evolved over time to get scarier. It's a scarier version of like the snake that it used to be. Yeah, it used to be just kind of like this like head turning thing, and now like the mouth and fangs come out, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It moves down at you.
I actually had a dream recently, an apocalyptic dream, where a giant snake that looked exactly like this cobra was slithering its way through Los Angeles and eating all my loved ones. I watched my mom get eaten.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy. This snake, I think, had a big part in that. It used to scare me as a kid. It scares me now. Also, speaking of the storytelling, I think this ride, I mean, the scenes that it whisks you through so quickly are amazing. You never at any point forget where you are. You know you're going into the, like, from the beginning where it says it's going to bring you into the Gates of Doom, and then you're escaping this temple. It's very clear the entire time. While still being so advanced.
It's like pedal to the metal the entire time. There's no like kind of like...
Yeah.
It builds very quick. It's just like you're in it and then it's just all the way...
You know what? It's a perfectly balanced ride, as Thanos would say. Perfectly balanced.
Interesting.
As all things should be.
Huh.
And it is that. It feels like a rich and fast immersive ride, but it also for some reason somehow feels long in a good way. Like it doesn't feel like you got cheated. Like I don't know the actual ride time of this ride. It must be like what? 2-3 minutes?
Right, it's 2 to 3 minutes.
It feels like 10. It feels like a long ride.
And it's
a good
worth
way.
The hour wait.
And that's what I was just about to get to. Yeah. There are certain rides
you're
where if you wait
quite a few scenes.
30 or minutes or an hour, like this or Radiator Springs, they feel like they were worth the wait. And that's also ultimately why I had Radiator Springs on here, because I feel like it whisks you through so many scenes and makes it feel like a weighty ride, which Indiana Jones feels like. It's just, you know, Indiana Jones is based on a intellectual property that's not garbage. So it's a fantastic ride. The theme song, the music, the entire ride is lights out. All the voice acting, I don't know if that's actually Harrison Ford, probably not. He's a very grumpy man, so I can't imagine him
it's hard
flying
to like,
his
get
plane.
Him to come back for like Star Wars.
Yeah, he's
like...
not flying his plane down to Burbank and then doing some voice acting. So whoever they got to do it did an amazing job impersonating him. I love that he's angry at you the entire ride. For being tourists.
For being there, period.
Yeah. Also, shout out to John Rhys-Davies for narrating this ride as Sala. And he also does an amazing job in the pre-show.
So good.
The pre-show video is so good. There's fun things that are like, oh, I bet you didn't know this when you bring your friends to the park to do in the queue. Like the rope, you pull the rope and the guys get all upset. I used to avoid the diamonds on the ground when I was a kid because I thought I was going to get murked.
Do you guys ever like spin that bamboo? Like around,
yeah, to
like,
get the spikes to fall down.
That's what. Okay, that's what it is.
And then
like,
push.
It makes that like loud.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. It's just so many. It's like the little, like the things that we did not need.
Yeah,
and
they
it's
just
there.
Went. They went above and beyond. They even had like language hidden on the walls that they gave little Dakota cards out to back in the early days. But yeah, it deserves its spot at number one atop the mountain, and I think that rounds out the list. So let's to recap. That's Indiana Jones 1, Haunted Mansion 2, Space 3, Guardians 4. And Radiator 5. That rounds out our list. Now, with that being said, let's move to honorable mentions. Let's start with Amanda. This is probably a ride that you thought should have been on the list, and it's not on the list.
What do you think?
What I think yours
is? My honorable mention.
If you say what I think you're going to say...
I have two. Can I say two?
I think you keep it to one. Let's keep
to
it to
one.
We're all about tough decisions
okay,
here.
Okay. Thunder.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Okay.
I have like a very weird, I don't think you'll disagree. It's a very solid ride.
It is a solid ride.
It was in my top five.
Oh, it was? Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, that means I was the one that edged it out of the list. it was number five for you, Amanda.
Yeah. And I think it's because... Like, the theme wasn't, to me, it's not, like, because of the theme or anything. It's just because it's a very easy ride to get onto. It's a very easy ride to see fireworks on. The ride itself doesn't have, like, a score. There's not, like, it's very pure.
Ooh, yeah,
it's a very skinned ride that's just, like, I kind of attribute it to space, like, where it's, like, a classic ride.
Yeah, for the record, this was, I believe, my number seven.
Seven.
But I do also feel like it felt like this or space to me as well, because I think those are the two best themed roller coasters. I guess you could consider Matterhorn a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I just don't like getting my spine broken in half every time I get on a ride. And that's what happens.
They fixed it, kind of.
Did they?
They just added padding.
Yeah, they tried to add padding.
That ride has kept chiropractors in business for decades. Yeah.
Thunder is one of those rides where I bring someone who's never been on it, and I'm annoying the entire time because I'm so proud of this ride, but they are like, okay, let me just like... I don't think they see the things that I see, which is like the goat, like the little things that are just...
Yeah, the goat.
You just apparently there's this thing where you kind of just have to, on the turn, you're supposed to just keep your eyes on the goat. And apparently that makes everything faster.
Yeah.
Does it? I don't know.
It's a fun trick. I love it.
I feel
it.
More of a gut punch when I do it. Like there's almost like, because like your line of sight is different from like where the forces of the actual ride are taking you. So it can create, like, I think it discombobulates you a bit.
It enhances the G force of that final spiral for people that don't. I mean, I love that a ride that has tricks like that, that make the ride a ride within a ride, like Inception. It's very fun layering. Also, like, the outdoor theming of this ride is incredible. Like, I really do feel like I'm out in the West. Also, up there in narration as well, top five narration.
Yeah.
Wildest ride in the wilderness,
the
that
wildest.
Safety call out.
Ugh. It's short and sweet.
It's iconic.
So good.
And also, if you get on this ride at a certain time, you could watch Fantasmic while you're on this ride or the fireworks.
Fireworks. So good. Get on it like 9, get in line at like 9:05.
And you'll be in the money. Because you're waiting in line while Fantasmic is playing, but then you're also going to see the fireworks while you're on the ride. Also, the coyotes that are howling as you ride under them, a top five sound in the resort.
All the sound effects work together wonderfully.
It's so good. It's so damn good. Great fast pass for this ride. The line never feels like it's that long, even if it is. I used to always try and lob quarters into that little pool in the middle of it. Good stuff. It's just, it's a great ride.
Hidden Mickey's, again, great on that ride.
Just a well-themed roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And also appreciate the boldness to not have music on this ride, because you easily could have had music on this to try and enhance the experience, but I weirdly feel like it's almost better without the music.
The track sound is so soothing to me.
It is.
Why is it so soothing?
I don't know. I just love a little choo-choo train.
Dude. Yeah, no, for sure. Oh, my God. It's so good. And have you ever been on space when there's no music?
Oh, it's probably not nearly as good.
It's fucking terrifying. It's so scary. It's dark, and the sounds of space, the roller coaster, it makes you feel like you're gonna crash into the first
so it kind of captures the vastness and horror of actual space. The big finish is fun too. It's very effective. That was one of the modifications they made in latter years, and it's still effective.
The water splash
no, I'm talking about like when the dynamite explodes and there's like the actual projection. Also super effective. They blow that smoke in front of your face.
What was there before?
Nothing. It was just like the rocks that were kind of like the animatronic rocks that were moving,
just
against
vibrating.
Yeah.
And just sound effects.
Cool.
Whereas now you actually see it. It's good stuff. Let's move to Byron for his honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mention, I got to go with Pirates of the Caribbean.
And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales.
Yeah, that was going to be mine, and now I'll think of another one.
You have to think of another one now. Although I could take it back if you want to have that one.
No, you can have that one.
There's quite a few that I could.
Where would Pirates have been on your list? Because Big Thunder Mountain was 5 on Amanda's list.
It honestly probably would have been 6.
Yeah, because
maybe 7, depending on if I wanted Radiator Springs to slip in front of it. What it boils down to is like I felt like I had to have either Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean in the top 5.
But you couldn't have both.
Kind
of how I felt weirdly, it was number 5 for me.
It's
Pirates was number 5.
It's an incredible 1-2 punch. But once again, just incredible writing. That still holds up, like all the animatronics, like somehow still kind of work. And I mean, I'm sure there's mixed feelings about Jack Sparrow being incorporated into the ride.
And I don't mind it.
And
I don't
love it. I think it still works.
It doesn't hurt or help the ride to me.
Although I do kind of miss like the guys at the end, like pulling the massive like.
Yeah, that animatronic is so much fun. The guys pulling up the booty.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's just a very poorly maintained Jack Sparrow figure. that is amazing when it's actually properly refurbished. But now, like, there's like skin hanging off of his lips, and he kind of looks like he looks like a Terminator. He looks like he came from Skynet.
You see, like, the metal.
Just gonna be a red eye. Yeah,
it's kind of eerie. This ride, man. Or do you have more to say, Brian? Because if you don't, I have plenty to say here.
I think I'll let you run with it. I know you'll probably bring up a lot of the stuff I'm going to bring up anyways, and just like how the end of the ride goes, and like how that might have like also swayed.
Oh yeah,
me into
we'll save that for the end. Yeah,
the finish. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very funny. This ride is, it's weird how I felt like it goes in a pair with Haunted Mansion, because it feels like one of the original granddaddy rides that make Disneyland what it is. To me, when I'm thinking of Disneyland, I actually first think of the smell of Pirates of the Caribbean.
The rat water?
Like, whatever that water scent
magic
is.
Magic water.
If that scent was anywhere else in the world, like, if I walked into a restaurant and it smelled like that, I'd be like, I'm not eating here.
Yeah.
Because clearly there's something wrong with this restaurant. But for the ride, it just works. It makes me feel like I'm out on the bayou.
Ironically, there is a restaurant that people are...
And that is, well, that's
eating
because,
in rat water.
Yeah, Blue Bayou is a, oh God, when you talk about top five restaurants in the resort.
Blue
Bayou. Are we going to spoil this now?
We'll save Blue Bayou for another, for another podcast.
I'm excited to hear about your thoughts on it.
Because Blue Bayou?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll wait. Let's make them wait. Let's make the two viewers that are probably two of our moms that are listening to this podcast wait to hear us talk about Blue Bayou. But Pirates of the Caribbean, like, the scent is amazing. It's up there. It might be, it's like 1, 2, 3, Indiana Jones, Haunted Mansion, and Pirates as the most immersive ride environments that I've ever been on. And yet Pirates is still number 5 on my list.
You kind of forget that, like, the ceiling is like maybe 20 feet above you.
You really do feel like you're outside.
You kind of think you're in open air.
It's incredible. Trippy. The bayou scene to this day, I still feel like I'm outside right now because it has the perfect cricket ambiance and it has that beautiful banjo, and it relaxes me. I love the banjo bayou, or bayou banjo, I think is the track title,
which is interesting because it's supposed to be like scary, right?
It's I don't know.
It's bringing you to the dark drop.
It relaxes me. To this day, I still thought the old man was playing a banjo. He's not. He's listening to a banjo inside his little hut.
In my mind,
I still keep forgetting, like, he doesn't have a banjo.
He's just smoking a pipe on a rocking chair.
I'm the worst. Yeah.
Also, like, you know, on a rocking chair out on a porch on the bayou, could you think of a better way to spend a night than that? I'm always jealous of that old animatronic man.
So scary.
The talking skeleton that kind of warns you before you go down the drop.
Scary.
Fantastic.
It is so scary.
Every room in this ride is lights out in terms of theming and just like the ultimate combination of resources. And to the point where some scenes are iconic, like the jail scene, the whistle is iconic.
The dog.
The fight between the big pirate ship and like the bunker is still so... The scale of this ride is insane. Like, it just feels grand.
They can't really approve much of, like, those kind of... I just don't think of, like, a ride like Pirates, where it's, like, slow boat ride takes up this insane amount of space. Like, they would never green light it now.
This is the ultimate you'll find something new, right?
You look for it, you'll find, like, something new. Like,
yeah. I feel, as I'm talking about it, I'm actually feeling like I should have had this higher on my list. Mm-hmm. I had it at number 5. The drops in this ride, actually, Byron pointed this out to me one time I was riding this. Byron, maybe you explain this.
What?
why is the
layout?
The layout of this ride is really funny.
Once again, I think it's this thing where they had to, like, get everything on the other side of the railroad track.
Yeah.
What a cool way to do it, you know, to have, you know, just to drop your riders down into this world almost as if like they're transporting you back in time to the days of the pirates. And I think the drops just do it wonderfully. But I think the running joke that I've had with Ryan is that once they dropped you down, they got so excited about telling you about the story to the pirates that they never thought about bringing everyone back up to ground level until the ride was completely over.
Like, they probably
fuck
all the way to the end of their concept art. And they're like, wow, man, this is
what
such
a
big, what a showstopper. We end with them having a gunfight over TNT. And then one of them, like an intern in the room, comes in and goes like...
And it's like, oh, yeah, you got to bring them back up.
So they have us go up this, like, lift, thinking that there's going to be this big finale drop. And they don't have anything. It's just like this tiny little drop.
A little dip down.
And then now you have to see people, other people, like in the queue right away.
That's why, like, I don't want to look. That's why you. I think it's really funny, like, kind of reading the faces on people as they come around that last bend, because they're all kind of just like
everyone's still waiting.
Huh? Like,
and that's the hilarity of this ride, because you get a front row view of it, of human behavior, of watching a boat full of people thinking they're about to get dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny. I always look out for that.
So people don't realize that even when you get to the beginning of the barrel room or the shield room, whatever, that's when the ride's over.
Essentially. That's yeah. Because there's really not any theming on that lift up either. It's just like they're like, all right, well, bye. Let's bring them back up.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
That's the thing. They got to the end of it and, like, we're going to turn these guys right back into the station. Like, oh, yeah, but you gotta bring them up. What? you got to bring them up.
Like, and they're like, oh, shit. It's also such a long ride, too, which is super satisfying. Especially the wait time to ride time ratio on this ride, off the charts. My honorable mention, it was gonna be Pirates because it was number 5 for me, and we're gonna have to go to my number.
Oh no!
What is this now? 7? This is my number. No, wait, because my number 6 was, Big Thunder Mountain. My number 7 was Guardians. My number 8 is Soarin'.
Soarin' to tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Oh, yes.
So we'll go to Soarin' here for my honorable mention.
Okay.
This ride, more than any other ride in the park, zens me out more than maybe even like meditation does. Like, I get off this ride and I feel wonderful. I feel light as a feather. I know it's just a ride simulator at the end of the day, but it is thrilling still, like, being hung up that high. The ride system is ingenious. The guy who made it, we always hear that guy tell the story of how he made it with the what the hell are those things called, like the tumbler set or the erector set. Yeah. The erector set. That's an ingenious ride system to get that many people up in the air at the same time. The scents that come out of this ride, the score is so damn majestic. Paired with the scents, it really does just make this kind of zen-like, relaxing experience. I listen to the theme all the time when I'm driving. That ride is curated to make you feel like you just went on a grand journey.
I think that's why I prefer, like, a big part of why I prefer the California version.
It's great.
I feel like the score, like, worked better with that. There's, like, some weird, like...
Yeah.
It felt like it just kind of captured that, like, serenity more. It felt like more intimate.
I agree that the California version is the GOAT. It's better than Over the World just because the score is better. Also, the original version had one of my favorite hidden Mickeys of all time. I'm not a big hidden Mickey guy, but the golf ball hidden Mickey is up there. Also, this is one of my favorite pre-shows in the entire park. Mainly and solely, actually, because of Patrick Warburton. Patrick Warburton's VO performance in this is top tier. He deserves some sort of ride award for his performance in this, mainly because his voice is so goddamn buttery smooth. Every time I'm like, I quote this ride pre-show more than I should.
He's Kronk, man.
He's Kronk. He's doing one-arm push-ups the entire VO performance. Him saying these little beauties. I always love mimicking.
And these little beauties.
The, height indicator on your right.
Do you like his Star Tours too?
He is in Star Tours.
Yeah. Do you appreciate that?
He doesn't reach the heights that he does in his performance in Soarin' Over California. Because I believe that's still actually in the pre-show, him in Over the World. Thank God they were smart enough to keep the Patrick Warburton performance. Yeah. That includes hats, glasses,
like,
and of course.
It, right? Like, I don't think they had him come back.
No, they used the same thing. Also, I love that he's clearly reading off a script. There's a part where he comes back at the end and he goes, oh, let's check and safety information. Oh, yeah. Have a nice flight. And then the thing he's holding in his hand is a folded up script. You could see the blocking on it. Like, the text shapes are
Courier font
script. He's like, he didn't even memorize his lines and he's still throwing heat the entire time.
What a boss,
time.
Dude.
It's fantastic. The way he hits his consonants. Acquaint you with some important safety information. It's I could listen to that. I could listen to that pre-show and fall asleep
the
to it.
Buckle on your
the height. Make sure the buckle slides through the loop so it matches the height indicator on your right. It's fantastic. I love it. My brother and I were thrilled. I don't even know if I like the ride as much as I like the pre-show. And that may be coming out right now as I'm talking about it.
But, you know, you got like an iconic voice when, like, I'd never seen Patrick Warburton until that
Me too.
Pre-show. And then like immediately I was like, oh my God, it's Kronk.
And he's one of those people where like when I heard his voice, I was like, I bet you I know what this guy looks like. And when I saw him, I was like, yes, that's him. That's the guy I saw in my head. It's perfect. But the scents, the orange grove scent, the trees, the beach.
What's the scent now? Or like what are the different worlds?
There's like
stuff?
That's why I think the world version isn't as good.
It doesn't come across as much.
Because the world is more about seeing famous landscapes, whereas like the California version was about seeing landscapes that would produce pleasing scents.
Right.
Like the orange grove or the beach.
It was more small scale, so it felt more exactly. Like, intimate and quiet. Like that sunset moment they used to have like along the beach, like yeah. where the score like
so
came
good.
Down and your feet can almost like touch the water.
It's so good.
It's a bunch of little surfers.
Yeah. And you hear so the good. Little waves at the toward the end of the like I don't know.
I also love how they very non subtly squeeze some patriotism into this ride. Not a big patriot myself, to be honest, but I'm fucking saluting at the end of this ride when they go over the Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, this is very heavy-handed. That does it for honorable mentions, and now moving into the last part here, which is our bombs. The ride that we think is the worst in the park, in our opinion. And you could have different definitions of this. I certainly have my own definition.
This is hard.
Because you could say something that's obvious. But for me, I picked a ride that I still get on, but I think it's a bad ride. But you could also just pick a ride you never get on because it's...
Right.
So let's go to Amanda.
I think... So there's a ride that I... Same as you, where you would just go.
Yeah.
Right? But there's also rides where you're like, they shouldn't even be mentioned because they're so embarrassing. Like, so useless as
yeah.
rides.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll name the useless ride, which is Golden Zephyr?
Golden Zephyr.
Oh, that ride yeah. sucks.
In Disney California Adventure. Okay, so that shit.
I don't know. I don't think we could ever have enough rides that just go in a
just
circle.
A circle. But the thing about this one is that it's never on.
Yeah.
So it's just taking up space for something that could be awesome, I think.
And it's like... located right next to another ride that
yeah.
spins in a circle better.
It yeah. just makes it look not...
That's true. It's right by Silly Symphony Swings.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's kind of insulting.
And I don't know. I just think that's one that we should just have to mention because they need to change that, and hopefully this puts pressure.
I mean, if any Disney execs are listening this far into the podcast, you probably should be fired for wasting this much time. But
right. yeah.
that ride does nothing more than... unsuccessfully distract me when I'm waiting in line for Corn Dog mm-hmm. Castle, which, by the way, I think those corn dogs are the same as the red trolley.
They
corn
are.
Dogs.
They are, but I'm not gonna ever
there's,
like.
There's a part of my brain that still thinks they're a little different at the red trolley.
That's so mental.
I'm all about the presentation.
Yeah,
and that red trolley is.
It's almost
that's
like
my place.
The proximity stink of the Golden Zephyr is bleeding into the Corn Dog Castle to the point where like it doesn't taste as good.
Oh, I can't wait until we talk about food.
Oh, it's gonna be great. Isn't I'm actually getting so hungry because I haven't eaten lunch yet.
Yeah, me neither.
So
Golden Zephyr is my choice.
That makes sense.
It's a good choice.
Just because we have to, I think.
It might be, if I'm thinking of the drop dead worst ride and a ride that I never get on, I'm struggling to think of a ride that's worse than that.
Go ahead, Byron. Take it away.
Okay. I'm going with Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Once again, there might be rides that are like shittier than Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, but I think I'm so fond of like growing up with the submarine ride that it just, the few times that I've actually been on Finding Nemo's version, it just doesn't work for me. I don't think the projections work. It makes the ride, they somehow made the ride feel smaller than it used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of feel like, I don't think I'm that easily like claustrophobic, yet somehow I get that effect on that ride. I don't know. One of those that kind of draws me in. It looks pleasing. And like, once again, I see the submarine. I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to go in the submarine. And then it's always disappointing. I'm not a fan of it. And they put way too much work and time and money into something that I just don't really think many people like. And I think it's a testament when you, like, notice that when it first opened, it was, like, a multi-hour wait. And then now it's, like, you can't find it over, like, 20 minutes. I don't know if it's, like, a running theme, but I feel like Pixar IPs on attractions is kind of hit and miss.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I just still have an easy feeling about Pixar Pier and then, like, the Monsters, Inc. ride. in California Adventure. But they brought Pixar into Disneyland and refurbed the submarine attraction. And they somehow made it worse. I don't know. The projections just don't feel right. It feels like claustrophobic when you're riding it.
It does feel claustrophobic.
And there's just kind of something fun and cheeky about those old, like, silly, like, underwater, like, sea monster and stuff like that. Like, you kind of notice more, like, when you're going into the tunnel under the waterfall and...
Byron misses the real mermaids.
The real mermaids that used to pose on top. I don't know if I was ever even alive when they did those. That was, like, early days. Yeah, they used to have, that's right.
That was one thing mermaids that I would... If we go back in time and we had even an episode about that, like... What rides we wish we, like, experienced.
Yeah.
That's...
Although I don't mind the seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good ad. Like, one thing, it looks like an appealing attraction, so sometimes it traps me into going, especially if I see a short wait. I'm like, all right, I'll go back on the submarine, and every time I'm reminded, like, oh, yeah, this is, like, really disappointing now.
Right.
Doesn't work for me.
And then now we'll move to my bomb, which is, and this is a hot take, I realize this. I will say that I don't know if this is the worst ride in the park, but it is the worst ride that I actually ride. And that ride is Toy Story Midway Mania. I almost put Roger Rabbit here, because Roger Rabbit is also a ride that I feel like is underwhelming. The only reason I used to go on it was because it was off the Fast Pass system. You could get a Fast Pass at any time for that ride. That was one of the only reasons why I went on that ride. But I put Midway Mania because it's a long line for essentially no reason.
Okay. Why didn't you say Astro?
Astro, I think, is the superior version.
Like Buzz Lightyear?
Yes.
No, but I like both. Don't get me wrong. I'm just wondering.
I'm with Ryan on this.
Midway
one.
Mania is such a goddamn lazy ride. It's literally just screen technology. You're literally being whisked around screens. You could actually see the screens.
But I think
Like going to Best Buy?
The physics of it is pretty impressive.
You know, it's a fun game. I gotta say, it's just so overrated.
What other ride?
No, I don't disagree. I'm just saying I can't believe you're putting, like,
Put it this way.
Astro, I like both.
Buzz Lightyear, I don't have to wait like an hour.
Yeah, and you're also being taken through live sets. They actually took the time to make animatronics in that ride that are impressive. Put it this way. Is there any other ride in the Disneyland Resort that you could literally have almost the exact experience at home?
Okay, fine.
Because this ride, you could play this at home, and it would be pretty much the same thing.
Shit,
you'd be missing them whisking you around the side of an LCD screen, which I know that's
agree.
Super exciting.
I agree with you. I agree with you with that.
I'll say this, too. The ride, it takes what, in my opinion, is... I think the Toy Story IP within the Pixar umbrella has the most potential for being a kick-ass ride. Like, you take something like the Ratatouille ride. I haven't been on it, but I know it puts you down to mouse size and you're moving through these, like,
that
crazy
is really
environments.
Cool. Yeah.
Could you imagine if they did the same for Toy Story and treated it with the same amount of respect?
Ratatouille is really dope, just saying.
Instead of giving it this weird screen ride or even having the Slinky roller coaster in Florida, which looks awful.
That's a great point. Because Toy Story is, like, the opportunities you have there to,
are so
to
vast.
Play with scale.
Imagine if they made a Toy Story Land with the same effort that they did for Cars Land. It would be incredible to be that tiny in, like, a room.
The Toy Story Land is not very good, right?
No, exactly. They didn't put the effort in
there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not too great.
But if they...
I think the Slinky Dog roller coaster is kind of cool, though. It's fun. I mean, it's nothing great.
It looks goofy as hell.
It's nothing insanely, like, immersive, I think.
Well...
I just think that this ride is the worst because there's a long line... You could do this at home. It's essentially just playing a video game. Mm. No attempt at theming. It's the most potential wasted out of any ride in the entire resort.
They really could have just, like...
They could have made
really
this kick-ass.
They really could have done... They probably didn't have the... The thing is, they don't have the room for it. But, like, Ratatouille, like, they could have easily done that
exactly.
Same... That same, you know... The story would be obviously way different, but, like, the same kind of technology and stuff, they could have used perfectly for
just
Toy Story.
Get rid of all of Pixar Pier, for the most part. Like, just keep Incredicoaster... And then literally level all of those stupid shops, get rid of Goofy Sky Coaster, get rid of the Silly Symphony Swings, Golden Zephyr, and just use that entire footprint to make a very sprawling show building for Toy Story.
The problem is everyone loves, like, I'm telling you, Toy Story Mania is, like, a very overrated ride, and
there's probably people who would be sad if that ride left, and kindly unfollow me.
Because, in Japan, it has a 3-hour wait. Like, every time I was there DisneySea, Toy Story Mania had, like, a 3-hour wait.
But how much of that is people returning to the ride because they love it, and how much of that is people
visitors.
Thinking, here's a Toy Story ride that has a long wait, it must be incredible and immersive. And they get on it, and they're like, that's what I waited 3 hours for, to pull a string?
We're not at True. Universal.
It's an embarrassment, to be honest.
Wait, so none of us mentioned Incredicoaster this entire time.
I know.
Not as the worst honorable mention or top, right?
But an honorable mention. Yeah, it's a fun roller coaster. I actually like Screamin' better. I like the score better.
Me too. I completely agree.
But it is fun. It's a fun ride. Giacchino's score on a coaster is a lot of fun.
But we're all in agreement that it's very, like, it's there.
It might have squeaked into my top 10.
I like roller coasters, but that's really what it is. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's a roller coaster. It's fun, but it's like...
It's the most coastery coaster they have. It's the one that feels like a roller coaster, both as a pro and a con within the Disneyland
like
Resort.
Peak Eisner era, like...
Yeah, we got to get the teens to come to this park because they're going to love it. Yeah, it's Michael.
So, like, I'm glad it's there, but it would never happen now.
It's funny how much Disney fans shit on Eisner, but he did save the park.
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh, that episode
was amazing. I have mad respect for Michael Eisner.
Yeah,
that episode was called Hit or Miss.
Yeah,
Hit and Miss.
Yeah, for the Imagineering story.
I think the duo of him and Frank Wells is probably a big part of why that worked so well. But I mean, you can't deny that he had a big part in getting people interested and back to Disney
an enormous
parks.
Part. Well, I think that wraps it up here then. We recorded for far too long once
again. Yeah, thanks, Michael Eisner.
And we're not going to really edit this podcast, so good luck listening to all this. This is a very mainstream episode, but later we're going to be going down to minutiae like scents in the park. So we're here just to get you in.
Just to reel you in. It doesn't get more fun than this. No, this like, is... This is just, it's all downhill.
Yeah. This was a podcast for us just to talk about Disneyland so we could not miss it as much. I think that's my closing thought, is I miss Disneyland. Any closing thoughts for you guys here, or are we good?
I'm very impressed with whoever made it this far.
Yeah.
That's if you're still listening.
Please let us know if you finished.
We should probably start a Twitter account
or
an Instagram account for this podcast. We'll get to that eventually, but for now we have nothing to plug. So
nope.
We'll see you guys next time.